So let me explain where we're going to go in this next while. The reason why we sort of moving things around and communion a bit later and more worship to come is most of you have been here over the recent weeks, excuse me, and you know that we've been going through this Know Your Why series. And if you've been here, you know that our intention is beyond just hopefully educating you or giving you a little bit of inspiration, but actually the whole emphasis is that we might be empowered more and more and more, not to be churchgoers, but to be the church that for years has sent missionaries out and continues to do so, but has discovered that it also is the missionary. Good, I'm glad you got that. And it was nearly 18 months ago that we put this little leaflet, and I've had some printed off here, because in that time people have arrived here at Life Church, you may not have quite coloured on to this. It's our 168 initiative. So much of you see it on many of the screens and a lot of the stuff that we do and the information that we push out there. And I've printed some, please take one, that are at the front here. But there's a little line in here that I want to quote. And then I want to tell you what I want to do, just, and I want to keep this fairly tight so that we've got time to communion and pray together. As part of the overall emphasis, and I'm not sure, I think Pete might have written this, because he tends to rewrite a lot of the stuff that I put on it, which is great, really. Script writers are great. This isn't primarily about changing our everyday routines. It's about awakening to the God-given potential of every moment. This isn't about primarily, 168, changing our everyday routines. It's about awakening to the God-given potential of every moment. All those waking moments at work, at home, with the kids, with the family, socializing, whatever you do, opportunity within each of those situations for God to do something in you and through you to others. Simple as that. And you know that the background to what we've been talking about is out of a book that as a leadership team we read some while ago by a girl called Karen Kircher, that's the right pronunciation. And this week, just skimming through the book again, I sort of realized something, and I've caught a little bit of what she said and trying to do it a little bit this morning, because in all the theory of what she's trying to present, there are almost page after page, there are her stories of how she has encountered God in those awakened moments and in situations both at work and at play, how God has engineered stuff, sometimes unbeknown to her, but often very consciously to her, how God has used situations or put her into situations that have been effective and powerful. And so we're talking about partnering with the Holy Spirit. And so you need, I need, not just for those that weren't here last week, but for my benefit and yours, I just need a few minutes to retrace our steps. Then this morning we'll have some context of where I want to go before I get ready, because I just want to pray with everybody this morning. So this is Rembrandt's famous painting. I told a whole story, I won't retell it this morning, that I wrote about. This is the Return of the Prodigal Son. Worth many hundreds of millions of pounds. One of those absolute, if you're into art, this is one of the epics out there. Told a story of how some people had broken into a museum, hypothetically, and damaged the painting so that it looked nothing like the original that Rembrandt did, and how he, Rembrandt, if he was alive, had gone and got his men to pay the price, the full value, and he took it back to his workshop and painstakingly over months got the thing back to where it should be, an act of restoration. Here was the verse that we're basing these 2 weeks on. Just before Jesus leaves the disciples and goes back up to heaven, they're wondering where all this is leading, and so they ask a question. As they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to, here's the word, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, yes, but that's for God alone to know. And I am going to do it. This is my version. I am going to do it, but the way I'm going to do it is through the Holy Spirit and you partnering with the Holy Spirit, because when he comes upon you, you will be witnesses to the message of Christ. Steve version. And so as you partner with the Holy Spirit, the restoration work that these apostles, disciples were looking for will happen. Not in a Messiah riding in on a white horse, but through individual people armed with the presence and the agenda of God, living out a whole list of things that we went through last week, and I'm going to highlight some of them. If we want more love in the world, yeah, by all means pray for it, but be more loving. It was Gandhi that famously said, be the change that you want to see. And so if we look for a world that's restored back something towards the original that God intended it to be, don't just sit passively back. By all means, gasp when you hear the news that yet again people stabbed on the streets of Paris or whatever else has gone over just the last few days. It's right that we should be aghast and annoyed and aggrieved and whatever words you put there. But in response to that, as people who have the Christ that is hope living inside of us, there's a response that goes on that means that day by day, in those moments, we're awakened to every opportunity that God can bring to us. Now, the question within that sometimes is how do I make myself more aware? Because these guys, just repeat what we said last week, it was all based on power and promise. They saw too much power in the hands of Rome, not enough in the hands of Christ. They saw a promise of restoration that was going to come through the Messiah. Here he was. So what's happening? And we said that all those restoration points were kingdom language. If we're talking about love and acceptance and hope and forgiveness, that's the kingdom of God. So I had this thought, and argue with me afterwards if you don't like it. No, don't. I, like many preachers, like many books that are written, often at times we talk about this comfort zone and really sort of get hold of it and go, break out of your comfort zone, like, you know, all that sort of language that somehow there's a new out there that we need to get into, but we're quite relaxed and happy in the world in which we live, and somehow we need to damage that and move aside so that something uncomfortable can happen to us. I get that. I'm not here saying that's wrong language or wrong preaching or anything like that. However, example, this morning is a comfort zone for your faith. Nobody's going to particularly come round to you this morning and say, Andrew, you seriously don't believe that stuff, do you? You're amongst people who hopefully have some degree of belief, who are singing songs of worship, who are giving money towards the work of the kingdom of God. This is a comfort zone for us, people of faith. This is where we want to live. So here's the thought. Rather than challenge you to break out of your comfort zone, Andre, what about if this is my comfort zone, that actually we just make the comfort zone a lot bigger. Spread your faith beyond the walls of a building so that actually when you're sat at your desk or in the car or presenting stuff or whatever your work or your schoolwork is when you're sat working for your exams or whatever occasion you might find yourself in tomorrow morning at this time, somehow there's a sense of comfort about the faith that I have there that means I'm not threatened to express what I love and what I believe. Jesus was like that. I don't think he retreated into a comfort zone. The world was his comfort zone. This is where I live. So when he sees things going on, various things that he's never seen before or responded to before, you know, he sees coffins coming out and he speaks to them. He sees crowds of people. There are people who are hungry and he gets his disciples and steals a packed lunch and spreads it to everybody around. Wow, comfort zone. And my aim this morning is for you to spread your faith so that the comfort zone, whatever you consider that to be, might get wider and wider and wider to the point where the faith that you have and express and love and talk about on a morning like this suddenly is outside of here. Scary. And so I opened my journal. I have many. And I started to look and I spent like loads of time over this week just reading through. I've got a stack of them. a journal of it's more specifically when God has said something to me, and it's quite specific or quite significant for me, for something to do with church, whatever it might be, usually quite sort of personal. And if you've ever journaled in any sort of way, or you keep a diary, I'm not talking just about spiritual stuff, then sometimes you've almost forgotten some of the stuff that goes on. You go back and you go, oh, wow, yeah, gosh, back in whenever. And I realized that I could sit here this morning or stand here and keep you for hours going through some of them fantastic stories of inadvertently or very consciously experiencing a partnering with the Holy Spirit that led to something of the restoration of God's agenda being brought. So it started in 1975. Let me just check here. Anybody 15 here? Lily, this is for you. Nobody else is like going like, I'd like to be 15. Bill was on his birthday, aren't I? I became a partner in mission. I was just 15 years of age. Some of you heard the story. I'm not going to labour any of these stories. And I was in Bramley, which is the suburb of Leeds that I was born and brought up in a little church, in a meeting. It was a Saturday night. Imagine going to church on a Saturday night. We did. And there was this old guy. I'm 15, he's 70. I can picture him now. Massive guy. Never preached in his life, but he believed God had called him to go and plant a church in the south of England. And in those days, churches sort of knew each other, so you'd all mix and mingle, and there'd be rallies. If you've been around a bit, you'd understand that word, rallies, where churches would get together, and you'd get in some visiting preacher, and you'd all sort of know each other. It's how Jane and I met at a rally. Wow! It's like blind date, 70s style. And in that meeting, he's talking about how God had called him. Now, I can't explain this, but somehow, as I sat there, I don't know who was sat next to me, whether it was my mum, my sister, I don't know. I sat there with a crowd of people. I was fairly familiar with a few visitors. This guy's speaking, he's talking about raising money for him to go and plant this church. Somehow I'm sat there, and God is like filling my mind and heart with something. Now this is like 43 years ago. We didn't talk about personal prophecy, and the word prophetic wasn't real. I didn't really understand what that meant. Somehow, deep in my heart, I knew that God was calling me. I understand a lot more now that this was about, there's something going to happen. I didn't know what it'd lead to. I didn't know it would be employment for the rest of my career. I didn't know where it would take me. I didn't know that I'd visit other countries and do all this stuff. But somehow, in partnering with the Holy Spirit, there's a mission that came about that began to restore faith in people, because I would guess over those years I've had the privilege to speak to thousands upon thousands of people, and for a number of years led thousands of teenagers to Christ, trekking around the country with a team of people. Didn't know all the plan, didn't know all the fine detail, but the Holy Spirit spoke into my young, tender mind that understood very little of the Bible, hadn't read very much of it at all, had been a Christian 2 years, was expecting a career in sport, that's where it was leading. And suddenly God changed just through a little voice that I didn't get. I was so buzzing, I didn't sleep that night. I'm 15, remember. I go and see the guy who's my pastor, who I love dearly, that weekend, and I told him this whole experience. And seriously, you'll laugh at this, but at that moment in time, I was all ready to go to the headmaster and say, you don't need me here anymore. I have a call upon my life. And he sort of calmed it down and said, probably not best to mention it to the headmaster right now. I was like, come on. Lots happened. In 2000, I was... two or three times a week, I'd drop Sam and Leah off at the school gate, St. Michael's School up there, when they were in the very early days of sort of reception and year one. And there's a guy there who I got talking to, not a Christian. Some of you have met him. His daughter worshipped here for a number of years, Katie Sedgwick. Went out for the odd pint with him. We talked a little bit about faith, about church. He sort of got it but didn't. Then one day, it's like 8:45 at the school gate, he puts this bit of paper in my hand. "What's this, Chris?" He said, "This needs you. This is a man who is not a believer. Decent guy." He said, this needs you. School governor application form, parent governor. Wasn't looking for this, like most people, busy enough. But the Holy Spirit used a non-Christian man to speak to me, and he said, "I love the way that you do stuff and the passion that you've got, and I believe that this school needs you in there with your Christian influence." No pressure. Interesting, the scenario that God takes you into, because many of you here have been our school governors, and you know the situation. I was promised that once a term there would be a meeting, then I would be seconded onto some other group that might take the odd meeting or two more. And without bearing details, the 4 years that I spent as a parent governor were probably the darkest years of the school's history in recent times, to a point where we were having meetings as governors every week for some of the issues that were sort of going on internally there. And the opportunity that I've got in, it's a church school, and David Beeden, who was the vicar, very locked into the school. The opportunities we had to sit and pray with those governors and staff members, people who weren't Christians, and just bring God. Now, I'm not here telling you all of them have come to faith or all of them go to church. No. We're talking about God-given opportunities. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, where a guy comes and God's saying, "I need Steve to partner with the Holy Spirit because I need to restore some value into this situation at this dark time." And I just filled the form in and praying that they'd say, "No, we've got enough." I was that much in tune with what God was saying. And those 4 years were important in terms of effect and restoring value. One more, because you get stories like this. Faith, value, generosity, all things that we want to see. I'm missing out all these verses here as well. Mark chapter 4, the top there, restoring faith. Jesus said, more than one occasion, "The kingdom of God is like yeast. It's like a mustard seed. What I need you to do is just plant it so that it affects the whole batch of dough." That's that awakening, you and I. God drops us as a tiny seed into a situation, and suddenly we can have some sort of effect in there. Restoring value, Matthew 5. You know the verses. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And then in 2013, trekking through these books, this is one story I'd totally forgotten. And it's just one of those things that happens and you move on. Somebody came to me one day and they put an envelope in my hand. And they just said, "Not for you, but you know what to do with it." On the envelope, there's 150 quid in there in 10-pound notes. In the pocket, heard what they had to say. Not a clue, really, where, what, why, when, how. I put it in my drawer, I think, in the office, church office, through there, and just left it there, thinking every time I want to draw, remember. Don't let years go by and you've just got 150 quid in there. And then, not very long after, somebody appeared at the church, and they do from time to time. People come in asking for this, that, and the other. "I'm stuck in Litchfield. I've got no money. I've lost my job." And you know, I'm not naive in any way. There's times when I give people stuff, times when you think. Somebody walked in, and they'd been to this church once many years earlier, found it a great experience. Then they'd gone away living a bit rough, and he told me the whole story, and suddenly he was round town, and he'd just got himself a job. And I phoned the company check, he'd got the job he had, you know, not naively going through all this, and he said, I've got a bit of a problem. He said, I'm going to lose the flat that I'm in because I'm starting this job next week and I won't get paid for another month. And I'm just short, you know where this is going, of 150 quid to keep the flat and get the job and secure my future. And I thought, where could I get 150 quid from now? And I remembered it was in the drawer there. And I took it out and I told him the story. I didn't just give him it and go, there's 150 quid, so he thinks I'm just a generous bloke. I said, somebody gave me this some probably months ago and said I would know the moment when this would be to hand over and pass on. And I want to bless you with this. This is part of God's generosity to you. Listen to this from Proverbs. Proverbs 19:17 says this. He who is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. And the Lord will repay him for his deeds. He who is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Now, I've got one more thing that I'm going to shut up in a minute. Let's partner together. We get a lot of stuff comes through the office in Maria's email box and my inbox to get involved in this, that, and the other. And again, forgive my cheesiness here, but I've got to say it as it is. Maria said, are you interested in this? So we've been invited on June the 11th in Market Square at Lichfield, all the volunteer groups around Lichfield, to come and put your little marquee, gazebo, whatever up, and ply your wares, I think is the phrase, isn't it? Tell people what you're up to and what you do. And you know what? I didn't see the word fair. I saw the word prayer because it rhymes. Sorry, that's the best I can do. Sorry, Rob, sorry. Somebody steal the mic from me like Eurovision or something. So I'm going to do it. And if you're free, I want you to come and be with me. We're going to set up a little gazebo. We're going to have a little table there. We're going to have leaflets. We're going to have a few bits and bobs there. Roll a banner that's going to say our church stuff on it. And that whole volunteer fair / prayer. I believe they've invited the church to come and say something. And I know many of you are working and busy, so it's not like, unless you feel God says to you, take a morning off, great, 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 come with me. Not asking for like, can you join me now? But hey, opportunity for us to just have a little bit of an influence in the city center. Have a little bit of a chat to people. They're going to ask church, why the flipping heck are you here? Let me tell you. June the 11th, it's a Monday, 10 till 3. It's going to be a lovely sunny day. Bring your shades and be ready just to be able to. I'm going to send you an email, and if you've got chance to come for half an hour, I know people can't do the 5 hours that it is, but if you've got half an hour within there, I'm going to go and take Steve a cup of tea and pray with, that would be great. Just a little bit of a chance. But let me go back to where I started here. This isn't about changing our everyday routines, but just awakening to the God-given potential of every moment. They're three of my many stories. You've got stories, if you think about it, where God has used you. But I want your stories to get bigger and better and wider and longer, fuller. I want your journal to be full. I want you to be alive and electric and excited about the presence of God in your life, about the possibility of why God has planted himself in you and what that means every day of the week in the workplace where you are, in the neighborhood where you are, that there might be opportunity to partner with the Holy Spirit in just everyday simple ways to begin to see an agenda that through you, God is restoring the picture back to the original so that it looks beautiful on the outside and on the inside. So we're going to invite the Holy Spirit because I think you got what I'm saying. And that's all right, I'm going, great, wow, they're good stories, hope so. But actually, let's do this, guys. But you're not going to do it on your own. However gifted you are, however important you are in the role that you play, that's great, and God can use that. But you need the Holy Spirit filling you and empowering you so that stuff's going on that you're not even possibly aware of. Somebody's healed. Jesus didn't know about it. Who touched me? You know, we think Jesus was he was aware something had gone from him but wasn't aware of exactly what. Who touched me? And they're going, mate, there's crowds around you. Loads of people have touched you, mate. That's what happens, Jesus. When there's a crowd, people touch. And he's like, no. Virtue, something has gone. Something has gone out from me and touched somebody. There's a woman healed. So what I'm saying is this. People are just going to rub up against you. Lovely muscles. And in that rubbing up against you, wow. Just be electrified with the possibility that God might just energize something through that touch, through those words, through that action, through that, whatever it might be. And I'm aware there are people here this morning who are in very specific jobs where they deal with people on a regular basis in difficult situations. So their influence is unavoidable. We're not talking about them going anywhere. That's what they do. I'm talking about the likes of Rob, about the likes of Esther, people who are dealing with situations that are difficult, and they're influencing where God has put them. So, I could go on. I just want to pray right now for each of you that the Holy Spirit will just afresh come upon you. And as he comes upon you, suddenly, there's that phrase, you will awaken to every God-given opportunity. You suddenly find yourself, I need to give a fiver to Dave there. I don't know why. Don't ask for the detail. I need to ring Stella up and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. Don't know why. I need to bless Oliver. He's awake, I think. Yeah. It happens. I tell you what, it's flipping exciting. I was reading my journal the other day, and I was getting excited about my life, thinking like that. There's a good bloke. So, Penny, would you come and join me? Pete, come and join me here. We're going to share communion together. But these lovely people, we just want to pray with you. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. And what we're going to do is we've got some little bottles of oil here. As you come to share communion, we just want to, a bit Anglican, we just want to dab you and go, receive the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And just believe that in that simple action, there's going to be a transference of just a new sense of God in your life. Is that okay? Cue the music. Don't get communion until you've been dabbed. And as you do, just receive. Yeah?